All right, Commanders and Lions tied at 7, 3.5 minutes to go in the first half. You had a defensive touchdown from the Commanders. You had Josh Dobbs for the Lions running it 40 yards into the end zone after just a great play fake. Just caught the defense on their heels at this point. But a couple of takeaways for the Commanders' defense. You had a fumble on the opening drive for the Lions that resulted in a touchdown for the Commanders' defense. Then you had an interception as well. Quan Martin had the interception on Josh Dobbs. So that gave a chance for the Commanders' offense to get out there and do something. Spoiler alert, they did nothing. It was 3 and out. And on 3rd and 20, after Jaden Daniels got sacked and swarmed with an offensive line that didn't protect him at all on his one tiny little drive, they ran the ball on 3rd and 20, and then that was it. And then it was Sam Hartman, and now it looks like probably Ethan Calicmanis the rest of the way, which, as Metal Chris has said, why not? Because we've seen enough of Sam Hartman, and I agree. We know what Sam Hartman is at this point, so you might as well see what Ethan can do, what AK can do. And it looks like they're going to give him that opportunity. Maybe they bring them both back left and right. But a lot of the Commanders' defense on the field. Now, a lot of starters not out there, but they are swarming. They are aggressive. And they are trying to generate turnovers, and they're getting in the backfield and getting a couple of sacks there, and sacking Altmyer, who's out there now for the Lions. And yeah, I mean, they are making plays, and that's the promising thing that we've seen so far from this Commanders' defense in this game, because the offense showed us nothing. And then, you know, once you're out there, Sam Hartman was getting sacked too. There's not a lot of protection right now. The offensive line may be a problem, and this defense right now is showing that they look very different just from a mindset, just from a strategy perspective. They are aggressive. And that's what they got to do. All right, earlier I talked to Kevin Sheehan. We got into, obviously, about Jaden Daniels, whether or not he was going to start. But the bigger thing is, you know, really bigger picture with this team, what you want to see the rest of the preseason. And there was a little dabble of the Wizards in there and Anthony Davis too. Kevin Sheehan jumps on with me, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, right here on Team 980 as well. Look, the conversation now becomes whether or not starters will, well, some starters are going to play Kevin. It looks like not all of them. Jaden Daniels is the big one here. I'll just throw right into it, man. Do you want to see him play? Do you want to see him out there at all? Because, like, preseason's gotten to the point now where there's just so little value in it anymore, and they show nothing with these offenses.
I mean, I keep going back and forth on this. Like, Ben asked Quinn a good question today. He's like, just try to explain the value of like a series or two versus the risk of putting out. Like, what's the value really of a series or two? Remember the Chargers game last year? It was the first game back after the Green Bay injury, and literally he and the offense looked terrible first two possessions. And then the rest of the game, he absolutely lit the Chargers up and looked like he did in 2024. Like, two series are nothing in an NFL game, you know? Like, you get the ball 9-10 times, and sometimes you get into the flow of the game, and then the good stuff comes later. So, I don't know. It's one of those things, Nick. It's like, I think you got to leave these decisions up to the professionals who are actually out there and really know what they need before the opener in Philadelphia. To me, though, there is something that makes sense about a dress rehearsal when you have a new coordinator, a new center, now he can't go, a new receiver, and you got so much that's new out there. Why, you know, go into the first game having not done it together? I don't know. We'll see.
But, you know, I mean, it's like preseason has just changed so much, too. It used to have more value, and it used to be a little bit of a shorter season. And, you know, you have starters playing at least one game into the third quarter sometimes. And I'm sure you've seen it, the Tom Brady touchdown pass to Randy Moss all over the social media with, you know, it's like 5 minutes to go in the third quarter of a preseason game. And he's like, I played football when there was football. Yeah, I mean, it just feels like now you're right. That's kind of where I am, where it's like the value of a couple of short drives where you're not going to see much. Because, Kevin, last year, man, I mean, we thought they were going to run the hell out of the football with what we saw against the Bengals in that one drive in the preseason. I was like, Chris Rodriguez got faster. They're going to hand the ball off. They're going to have a balanced offense. And then we saw, like, none of that during the regular season. So I just worry that you're in this spot now where there's just really no value in him being out there. But at the same time, then you start week one and this offense looks terrible and they're going to be like, see, you should have played in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, and people will say that, but it doesn't mean that the people that say that are right. You know,
no, that's true. This is true.
The bottom line is preseason NFL football has devolved into a totally worthless product for us, the consumer. And for the teams, it's simply a matter of being able to evaluate the players who are fighting for roster spots, you know, 45 through 53. You know, some teams it's probably only 50 through 53. And then determining what the next 17 are going to look like on your practice squad. That's what you're doing in these actual preseason games. You know, some people believe that that's actually what you're doing in the joint practices to a certain extent as well, because you're not showing much there either. So the whole thing is a ruse, basically, where, you know, they're not paying the players and everybody's sitting around and it's football on TV that gets great ratings, but it's not really football. We don't know anything about any of these teams until they start to play real games. And even when they start to play real games, it takes 5, 6, 7 games to figure it out.
Where is your level of concern with specifically Nick Allegretti? Kind of shifting to a new position. I know he's learned some of it. It's not like he can't play it, but missing all this time, the chemistry, new offense, that's a lot that he's got to catch up on.
So when they cut Tyler Biadasz, we were all surprised. Like, really? He was pretty decent. Then, you know, was it Tyler Linderbaum that was plan A? My guess is it was plan A. And the price got ridiculous and, you know, let the Raiders pay him $29 million a year. Plan B, I do think, was Allegretti, because I think they really like him and they think he's a great communicator. They think he's really smart, and that's what maybe was his edge. But what if he isn't healthy and has injury problems? What's plan C? That's the problem. I actually feel fine about Allegretti because they feel okay about Allegretti. It doesn't mean they're right, but there's some level of confidence there that, you know, he's not going to be a major downgrade from what they had. But what's plan C if he's banged up and can't go? That would be the concern. And by the way, wouldn't surprise me over the next week or two if he just keeps missing and he's ruled out for another week of practice, if they start looking for something that's maybe not in the building currently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is we spend so much time looking at what these rosters are in camp now, and guys get cut all the time that, you know, it's just a numbers game there. So, yeah, I think there's
a lot. Yeah, I mean, Noah Brown was added, you know, 5 days before the opener, and there, on bad teams, you see a lot of, well, you know, there's 6, 7 guys that weren't in camp that ended up being on the week one roster.
What do you think they do at running back? Because we obviously saw a couple of, you know, we see a 6th-round pick and an undrafted rookie both have really good opening preseason games. We expect more from Bill this year, and I think that, you know, to me, this feels like you could maybe keep 4, but you've just got this numbers game across so many other positions. And again, I know it's only one preseason, but do you think this becomes one of those, hey, let's add another running back because we can really balance this offense a little bit more?
I think, first of all, Rashad White is going to be a major, major contributor, and he's going to be, I think, much more of a split or even a majority of the snap counts, of the snaps, especially early in the season, than maybe fans think. I could be wrong about that, especially with the hamstring and the whole thing. And I know that they are confident in Kroski Merritt, but going to Philly, going to Dallas, having Seattle come in week 3, you got to have a veteran running back that can pick up, you know, the pass block aspect of the game, and be more of an all around back. And I think they'll have confidence in him being out there after him and Bill. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, Jeremy McNichols will be on the roster if he doesn't start the season on the roster. He'll start it on IR because he is currently legitimately banged up. I really liked what I saw in Robert Henry Jr. last week. I think he is a more natural zone runner than Catron Allen. But Catron Allen has some ability, too. By the way, what running back gets 23 carries in a
preseason game? It was a ton of carries. I couldn't believe it.
23. Insane. Yeah, that's what I would expect, you know, those 4 with Allen and or, you know, Henry Jr. I'm going to assume it's going to be Allen, but Henry Jr., they had back on punts last week, kickoffs. They clearly wanted to see him, you know, under the lights to see if what they had been seeing, you know, during spring and summer was legit or not. And I think he, you know, gave him reason to believe it is.
And, you know, I think even if this team is healthy, Kevin, to start the season, there might be some level of, like, figuring things out still with the offense to where, you know, they've made some additions defensively here, and this defense might have to, like carry's not the right word, but maybe pick up a little bit of the slack. And we've seen this a lot, right? Offenses early on in the regular season tend to struggle around the NFL. You get more, at least from the run game. Running back numbers are up from rushing touchdowns to rushing yards, and you know, scoring kind of evolves as the season goes on, which, by the way, I actually really like the under 46.5 Commanders-Eagles week one, if you want to dabble in that, because I think it's two offenses that are going to – they've got new offensive coordinators and a lot of moving parts. But you know, I actually have a higher level of confidence in this defense as long as they're obviously healthy.
That sounds just like a neighbor Nick theory.
You know? A little bit, yeah.
A neighbor Nick theory. And we might be going opposite of that. Tim Murray and I might be. The defense carrying this team would really be interesting, wouldn't it? Because that defense last year and even the year before was really, really bad. So
but we have to at least agree that it is definitely different than, like, they have made some significant upgrades there. Or you don't think there's upgrades?
And no, it's different. It's upgraded. It doesn't mean it'll come together, you know, in terms of the pieces fitting. It doesn't mean it'll be coached well. We have to see. It's a first-time coordinator. But I do think, Nick, it would be nearly impossible for it to be worse than it was last year.
I hope so.
I'm expecting it to be better. Whether or not it can carry this team early on, if the offense is still kind of growing and getting used to, you know, a new system, I don't know. That'd be great because – bottom line with this team, number one on the list, and everything is, you know, five steps down before you start counting, is Jaden Daniels going to be healthy for 15, 16, 17 games? If he is, then you've got a chance to win more games than you lose. If he isn't, it's your season's doomed, no matter what you have on defense or anywhere else.
Well, that's how the NFL is. It's all quarterback-driven, as we know. Talking to Kevin Sheehan here on the Team 980.
Especially when he's your best player.
I mean, and then, listen, this is why they pay quarterbacks as much as they pay them, and it's just, I think that's one thing, though, that's just, right, think of how many years we've looked at this team, and I've talked about it, and I know you've talked about it plenty, the amount of quarterbacks that have started for this team, and you just look at the names and go, oh my God, we had no hope from the beginning of the year. Like, I can remember years, Kevin, trying to justify, you know, why Case Keenum or John Beck or Rex Grossman, just, you know, maybe this is the diamond in the rough, and this team found, like, we, and again, lots of fan bases do it. We all do it when you're desperate to find that meaning. But I mean, if you look at some of these teams around the NFL that don't have a quarterback, you know their ceiling is lower. This is one of the rare eras for this organization where there's at least a level of hope because of what you just said. It's about the quarterback, the guy that's under center, and it's not John Beck and Rex Grossman or Jeff George or any of these other dudes that they've been throwing out there over the years.
You're 100% right. And I'll go even a step further. I mean, with Dan Snyder as the owner, Tommy and I would talk about this all the time. You had to suspend reality to have a real conversation about the team, because the bottom line was, as long as he owned the team, you were never going to be good. You know, you were never going to have sustained success. You know, you might hit the inside straight and go 9-7 and backdoor a playoff berth one year. But so you don't have to suspend reality anymore, because it's actually a professional and it's a competent organization. And then to your point, because you have one of those guys and there are 10, 11, 12 of them in the league and that's it, you got a shot. You have a chance every year. And I truly believe he is going to have a big bounce back year. Last year, the people that have talked about regression and all this stuff, it's like, what are you talking about? He didn't even play. Yeah. I mean, he played in seven games, and he played only four start to finish. And in those games, he didn't have a supporting cast. So anybody that legitimately evaluates Jaden Daniels' second year is high. I don't see how you can do it. I don't see how any of it would make sense. He just didn't play enough football, and everybody around him didn't, that was, you know, frontline starter material, didn't play enough football. You just wipe it, you know, out of your memory, and you hope it's the aberration year where everybody gets hurt and you have a bad year, because he has stayed healthy with the exception of last year. He played 52 of 54 college games, and he played all 20 as a rookie, the 17 in the regular season. And if I have to remind people, the three playoff games that they had, I think he's going to have a big year.
If he's healthy, I mean, he can elevate this offense in so many ways, even with missing pieces on that offensive line that they're going to have to deal with. Before you go, right. I know you're a hoops guy too here. What do you think happens with the Anthony Davis situation with the Wizards?
I mean, I would hope that he has major incentive to have a big season so that he can either get traded at the deadline and get paid or get paid when this year is over. I, you and I have talked hoops for as long as we've known each other. This is their best chance in a while to be a legitimate competitive team. And I think if he has a non-Anthony Davis injury type of year, meaning he plays 60, 65 games, I think they can win 44 or 45 and be a sixth seed in the East. So I am as fired up for a Wizard season as I've been in a long time. But I also know that it comes down to him being healthy, playing, being, you know, having true incentive to play at his best so he can sort of affect his own outcome. Because the reason they got him so cheap, I mean, I think we think it was cheap, is because he's just not playing enough. And I'm hoping for, you know, a season in which, you know, we can actually have meaningful basketball games for our pro team in town. Here's the thing, too, Nick. If he isn't healthy, they're not going to be a good team. It doesn't matter what A.J. DeBonta is as a rookie. Cooper Flagg was great, and they won 26 in Dallas last year. So I'm not expecting A.J. DeBonta to turn the team into a playoff team in his rookie year, even if he's really good, which I think he will be. But, yeah, that's... looking forward to that season as much as anybody's season in town.
Well, what, you're saying Trae Young can't elevate this team to a 50-win team?
No.
I mean, come on. There's no. Kevin, but in Atlanta, they... Oh, wait, they were a play-in team all the time. Never mind, just kidding. Yeah, I'm with, like... Well, the Trae Young thing is a whole other situation. I hate that they paid him that, but it is what it is at this point. But yeah,
it is what it is.
I can't have a choice. Yeah, you really didn't. Can't go back on it now. But yeah, I actually have a lot of high hopes for this team this year, and it's not crazy. We've seen teams make massive jumps in their win totals from one year to another.
Yeah,
so,
Toronto last year. Definitely.
I mean, we've watched the Thunder do it. We've watched the Spurs do it. We've watched the Pistons do it. We watched the Cavs do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of teams could do it. Kevin, good to talk to you, buddy.
But it comes down to him.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Without question. All right, man. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
You're the best. All right, there he goes. Kevin Sheehan. Yeah, I mean, listen, Anthony Davis healthy makes this team. I mean, Anthony Davis healthy is one of the best bigs in the NBA still. It's just how often have we actually seen, even at 33, right? You're still there. It's there. It's just you're going to get a smaller sample size of it moving forward. But... yeah, I think you're still in a better spot where if you can sell high and trade Anthony Davis by the deadline, it's going to set this team up better. It really will. Nick Ashew. All right, well, it's halftime. 7-7. Commanders, Lions. We saw Jaden Daniels for a drive. We saw the starters a few starters for a drive, and you got nothing. Jaden Daniels finishes 0-1, sacked for a 10-yard loss. The offensive line's a problem, at least right now. That's the only sample size that we have. But listen, it's not like I didn't go into this thinking there wasn't going to be a question about what the offensive line was going to do and what it was going to look like. You can't do anything about left tackle right now. You're stuck. It's Brandon Coleman. It's not going to be Laremy Tunsil. So got to figure that out. It's got to get right. Center, though, that's a question. And Nick Allegretti's not out there. Julian Good-Jones was spending a lot of time out there. He's just not it. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Matt Golden, I think, down the road can be the future at center for them. I just don't know if that's right now. I think we would like somebody out there that was a little more experienced in that position. But not a lot of protection. Watching two sacks for 21 total yards lost in the first half. Sam Hartman, though, going 6 of 6 for 32 yards. So there's that. I think he heard us talking, Metal Chris. He heard us talking about him saying he's not an NFL quarterback because he did go 6 of 6, even though he got sacked. So there's that. But
again, fine, but we know what his ceiling is. We know what his potential is. Like, there's no...
I don't think he's actually an NFL quarterback. We know who he is. But so the way that they kind of did it after Jaden Daniels is they alternated quarterbacks a little bit. Ethan Calic-Manis went out there, threw four passes, completed 3 of 4, 20 yards, and then Hartman was back on the field again before halftime. And that's probably what you're going to see the rest of the preseason. So that's it. We saw Jaden Daniels, and we saw Jaden Daniels for a drive, a three and out, where on 3rd and 20 they ran the football. And I don't expect them to show any real plays and do anything real, but that's my whole point. Like, if the question was whether or not you should start Jaden Daniels and you're not going to actually give him multiple drives or a chance to work anything out with the offense, then what's the point? He got sacked. The Lions defense got after him on the first snap, and he threw the ball into the ground just to get rid of it because the offensive line couldn't protect him, and it was incomplete pass with pressure. It was sack after pressure, and then it was run the football on 3rd and 20. What's the point? Really, what's the point? That's what drives me nuts about all this. It's like, yeah, okay, he came out safe, so in the end we're fine. He didn't get hurt. Great. But what if on that sack, that second snap of the game for him, that sack leads to a twisted ankle or gets up limping or, you know, a non-contact injury like Marcus Mariota had and he's out the rest of the preseason and then you're worrying about the MCL becoming something more. Now, yes, Marcus Mariota's the backup. Yeah, you hope he's not on the field at all unless it's a blowout win for the Commanders, so fine. My point with preseason, though, is we've watered it down so much that it's a legitimate question to ask why you play your starters at all, because you either need to commit and get them out there for real and get a benefit out of it, or just don't play these guys at all. Because the whole goal for Jaden Daniels is to go out of a game when it's all done without being touched. That's it. That is the goal. I mean, there's more than that. But you know what I mean? Like, in the preseason, that's the main thing. You just don't get touched. Everybody else needs to be out there. These guys have to take some hits. They're going to deliver hits. It's part of playing defense in the NFL. You're running back. You're going to get hit. Like, it's going to happen. But when it comes to quarterback, that's all you're getting. And it's we got nothing from Jaden Daniels again. And it was the same thing they did one drive last year. But at least then you saw some progress from the offense. Now, if we want to play this game, you could say, hey, we thought they were going to run the ball last year and they didn't, and the offense was terrible and everybody was hurt. So maybe this is a sign that everything's going to be good during the regular season. I'll play that game with you if you want to. But in reality here, you've gotten nothing from this offense at all. Van Jefferson has 2 catches for 17 yards. It's 7-7 at halftime. Again, they're going to spread the ball out, give guys a couple of opportunities. Just 5 carries for 23 yards for Catron Allen. Robert Henry Jr., not the same, although this can change in the second half. 3 catches for negative 3 yards. Or sorry, 3 carries for negative 3 yards. That's it. I mean, that's just not much from the offense. Now, the hope is that the second half you get a little bit more, and they're probably going to run the ball more because, you know, you do have legitimate position battles at running back. It's tough at wide receiver because if you've got Van Jefferson out there and, you know, De'Ami Brown or whoever else for the rest of preseason, and they have a fringe NFL quarterback throwing them the football, you're not getting much of a chance to see what they can bring to the table with this offense. You're getting that in practice. That's really what it comes down to, right? What you see in practice, what you see in individual situations for those guys, that's what's going to determine really whether they make this roster or not. Being able to run the football, yeah, you hope that Catron Allen and Robert Henry Jr. can show enough where they make it a tough decision for this team, where you have real options. Now, Robert Henry Jr. has been out there to return kicks as well. Like, they put him out there on special teams, and that may be an opportunity for him to help make this roster. But you just didn't get a lot in this right now. And that's just what bothers me about the whole situation is, like, if you're going to put him out there, then actually get him out there. Give them an opportunity to just throw the football some. But if the goal was one drive, and let's just see what happens with it, and that's all you get, you're leaving a bad taste in your mouth now. Again, they're doing so much more work in camp and all this. It's just, it's preseason. And like, I hate to simplify it, but it really comes down to preseason is watered down and has very little value anymore because it's not valued by teams. It's not valued by players. I mean, a lot of them just like, I don't really care if I play in the preseason, right? And a lot of them don't.
It very much felt today, it was very much like, we were contractually obligated to show Jaden Daniels today on the playing field, and therefore
Didn't
we did.
You know,
like,
what?
It's like, okay, well, technically, yes. Like,
that is a great point. It did feel that way. It felt like, honestly, it was like, well, we got to throw him out there because Jordan Love played for the Packers, and Bryce Young played for the Panthers, and Bo Nix played for the Broncos. Well, Bo Nix had a touchdown. We didn't see anything from this offense at all, and you know, you didn't even get an opportunity. So, look, I think at this point now, as we sit here at halftime, tied 7-7, the two big takeaways are absolutely nothing from the Commanders' offense, nothing, no protection, not moving the ball at all, the defense aggressive. Forced fumble that turned into a touchdown on the opening drive for the Lions' offense. Then you intercept Josh Dobbs on the second drive. The third drive, though, does lead to a Josh Dobbs long rushing touchdown where the Commanders just got faked out of their shoes. I mean, they thought it was a run. It was a great play fake. It is what it is. It was just a great play call, and it was, it was just executed well by the Lions offense. But after that, couple of sacks as they go down the depth chart and continue to get after the Lions offense. So the defense looks aggressive. Durante Jones has made it clear that they are going to be an aggressive defense. They're going to be rotating guys in and out a lot, fresh legs. Guys are going to be ready. They're going to be fast, moving to the ball. Like the Commanders over the first two seasons with Dan Quinn as their head coach, 31st in the NFL in takeaways. Just 27 total. That's not good, okay? They forced three against Miami, but you know, there still wasn't as much of that downhill aggression as they want. We've seen a lot more of that today. And part of that is preseason. Okay, we didn't see enough. How do we change that? What do we do to fix it moving forward? Those types of things. Cool. So we saw some of that today, but they're going to have to get to a point where they fix that and show that this offense can be something that actually is consistent, because this was just ugly. All right, second half getting started next. We'll be back. Nick Ashew, Team 980 and The Fan. Who's ready to see some more Ethan Kelly-McManus out there for the Commanders? Nick Ashew on The Fan and The Team. Antonio Williams out there, at least for them. 7-7, Commanders, Lions. Saw one drive from Jaden Daniels and the starters, and who was out there, and that was it. So we got a little cardio out there for Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs, who did not get a target because, well, Jaden threw the ball once into the ground because the defense just decided, the offensive line decided, we're just going to let the Lions defense get through the line. It was not a pretty start, but we at least have, I'd say, you know, really a decent showing right now from the Commanders defense, which is really what's most promising, is that this defense is aggressive. They're getting after the quarterback. They're getting into the Lions' backfield. All of these things. Those are the types of things that should make you feel more comfortable with what the overall strategy is. Because, you're not seeing all the starters. Yeah, you're not seeing everybody out there in the whole playbook and all that. But it's very clear that Durante Jones wants this defense to be aggressive, wants them to get after the quarterback and generate turnovers. Again, 31st over the last 2 years in the NFL in takeaways with just 27. So this Commanders team wants to fix that. And listen, if you're going to go out and get younger and faster and more athletic and all this stuff on defense, you got to utilize it. You got to take advantage of it. And when you're building a roster and you have a new coordinator coming in and you're like, hey, we got to do a lot on this defense, he's going to have some say. You like the strategy. We're going to be aggressive. All these things. Great. Okay, now where are the players that we can target that we can actually say are going to be a part of this moving forward? And I think that's really where you now look at it and say they've got some sort of a plan. And you start from there. And that's what's, that's really the best part of the whole thing. So I do feel good about that. I'm very concerned, though, about this. Very concerned about this defense or this offensive line. I'm disheveled right now just trying to watch this. Also dealing with the constant stream issues today. It's going to be one of those days, Metal Chris, where technology is not listening to me. I'm going to vent about it when it happens, but it is what it is. Now getting error codes. Yeah, I'll just say this. Hey, Commanders, your stream on your website's terrible. Can you fix it, please? Trying to use that. It's much easier if I could just have that during the show. You're supposed to make it so it's easy for people, and it's not working. I don't use traditional cable anymore. Those cable boxes suck. This is what I do. This is what everybody does now. Fix the stream.
I mean, I can still watch it, though.
I know you can. You can, I know. I get it, and there's going to be a lot of people that are like, see, regular cable's good. I'm like, well, it's going away anyway, and it's an old technology. But it is what it is. It's just nothing but issues. It's not my Wi-Fi, I know that. My Wi-Fi is good. I've done a speed test. I've checked things. How panicked should I be, Metal Chris, about this offensive line? Am I overreacting, or do you think it's actually true? Because I'm scared.
Well, it's not week one yet.
Okay,
so that's where I'm at right now. But I think we might see Adam Peters having to start looking at other options here.
I would hope that they can find some other potential targets that are going to be out there.
If they pulled Jaden because of the sack, and then seeing how they played the next several, drives or whatever, how do you not try to get somebody else in there?
And I think that's a really good point, too, is like, did you just look at the protection and go, we are risking our quarterback being out here behind this offensive line? But the problem is that's at least partially what your offensive line is going to be to start the regular season against an Eagles defense that is aggressive, is good. Like, that Eagles defense is elite. That's the only reason they almost beat the 49ers in the playoffs last year. And I say almost because they lost, but like, That's the only thing that gave them a shot was their defense. Their offense was terrible. There's a reason why they've done a lot of things to change their offense in Philadelphia. But that defense is elite, and you're going to see that Eagles team week one. And you think they're not watching this? You think they're not paying attention? You think they're not going to target that left side of the line where you've got Chris Paul, who won the left guard position, but like, are you really that comfortable with him? It's always been kind of a rotating door there with him. And then left tackle is going to be at least 4 months without Laremy Tunsil, maybe the entire season. And that's brutal. But other teams know that. And I get it. Like, there's only so much you can do. It's not like you're going to find some star unless you bring somebody out of retirement that can, you know. But it's like center's an issue here, too. I get it. Maybe they got priced out in free agency. Fine. They didn't want to overspend the way this organization has in the past. That's good business to a point. But Nick Allegretti has barely spent any time on the field with this team. And we could say, oh, he's a pro, and he's played other positions, and he's okay. That's not full-time. It's like Marcus Mariota is a great backup to have if he's out there with some spot throws for you. If he's starting 10 games for you, you're screwed. Nick Allegretti is more than likely a backup offensive lineman that you're going to be starting at center with a new offense. Now, Ethan Calicmanis, a nice completion there. It looked like that was Antonio Williams. So say it again, Metal Chris. Who is it?
Calicmanis.
You see, you got this every time. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. You're getting me confidence with his name now.
I believe in you. Little nice out route to Antonio Williams, who gets a completion there. So we're watching something from this offense. That's the thing, too. Like, the defense has been aggressive. This offense has been so boring. It's 4th and 5, though, so they're going to kick a 27-yard field goal. So as long as Drew Stevens
can... It's
good.
I already saw it.
Okay, cool. So there you go. Yeah, again, you're ahead, and that's fine. You can spoil it. It's a preseason game. I don't mind
spoiling field goals.
You can spoil field goals if there's something big. I don't know whether you're in my ear or not. I just assume you're in my ear, and you're like, get ready. And I'm like, oh, God, what happened? Which makes it worse, because then I'm on the lookout of, like, is it good, is it bad? Wait till you see this. Like, that's the worst. But
that one-arm catch was pretty cool.
You're right. That's true. A one-arm catch is pretty cool. So you at least have that. But, all right, it's 10-7. Commanders on top of the Lions. 8:45 to go in the third quarter. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. Commanders up 10-7 on the Lions. 8:27 to go in the third quarter. Strong start to the defense overall. I mean, they gave up a long Joshua Dobbs touchdown, but, you know, getting after the quarterback a little bit. They got Dobbs back out there again. The Lions do have Dobbs back out there, don't they? All right. This is actually good, though, because this is going to be a little bit more of a test for the Commanders' defense. You force a fumble that leads to a touchdown, then you pick him off. It was Quan Martin with the interception. Those are the first two drives for the Lions' offense. Again, not starters there, but... Now you got Dobbs back out there again, had a long touchdown earlier, but they've been getting sacks, they've been getting after the quarterback. This is an aggressive Commanders defense right now, and it gives you a level of promise there. I mean, it really does. That, look, we all knew coming into this year that was the biggest concern, was the entire unit. It was so bad last year. And it's not like you had a ton of guys that were healthy on offense last year, but there's a certain point where, like, you know, you're like, what are we going to do when we're down 2 touchdowns after the first quarter? I mean, it was just so bad that the changes need to happen. And that's exactly what, you know, it's what they brought to the table. But I'd like to see a little bit more of the rest of the way. It's been mostly the defense for the Commanders that's out on the field. I'd really like to see a little bit more from this backfield, because it's going to be only so much that you can get when it's Sam Hartman and Ethan Calicmanis throwing the football back and forth. But to see more of Catron Allen, who's got 9 carries for 33 yards. Robert Henry Jr. only has 3 carries for -3 yards. So it is a 3rd-and-1 here, though, for Detroit. So it's an opportunity here for the Commanders to get a stop and get the offense back out there on the field, because you do have a lot of position battles that are still going to matter. I mean, Robert Henry Jr. has got to get an opportunity here if he wants to try and make this roster. He can't, after his first game, come in here for 3 carries and not even get you positive yardage. So, and oh God, the Lions get a first down. Of course they do. That play right there just had Blackshear just carving through the Commanders' defense. That had the feel of last year. And again, we're gonna look at every single play, and it's gonna be like, oh God, I remember last year. Oh man, but there's still some guys left over from this team last year, and you may not this defense. Again, I don't think this defense is a top 10 defense, but I do think it's a lot better. I really do. I think this defense is in a much better position talent-wise, youth-wise, speed-wise, but they may be in a position where they're going to have to kind of carry this team a lot early in the season. But, you know, if somebody like Quan Martin can step up and make plays for them, I think that really, really helps. And, if you start to see guys that last year maybe struggled that are better in this system, that's a really good sign. Because it's not just about, hey, we've added talent, right? Hey, we've added some guys in free agency, or hey, we've added guys in the draft, or whatever. It's also a better Frankie Louvu this year, a better Quan Martin, a better Jean-Baptiste. You can name all the names you want, but having the ability to improve players that are already on the roster is addition without actually doing anything new in free agency, right? And that's also a possibility for them. I mean, it really is. And I think this team is in a good spot where they definitely have some flashes of better players this year defensively. But they're just going to have to be aggressive, turning teams over. When you're 31st over the last 2 years in takeaways, I mean, that's just not going to work. And, you know, the defense was a liability in 2024. It's not like it was a good defense. They just had Jaden Daniels healthy for the entire season, and they were winning games in the last second, felt like every week. I mean, the football gods were on their side. And then, yeah, they obviously were dominant against Detroit, and it's just everything clicked for them, and it just was this snowball effect where one after the other was turnovers, and Detroit's just like, what the hell happened? How did our season end this way? How did it go this way? But let's be honest, that was mostly luck. I mean, that was luck for that Commanders defense in a lot of ways because they were not doing that during the regular season.
I don't know, my man. I think they came out ready, man. And that was the thing. In the Eagles game, they did not look prepared. And then that Lions game, like, they looked like they were ready to rock, you know?
You think the entire team just didn't look prepared?
Or I mean, specifically the defense in that case. Yeah. But
I felt like at that point, they just, like, emptied the whole tank out. And it was like they did everything they could against Detroit, and then there was just nothing left for Philadelphia.
I think they were so well prepared, though. I think they had a good game plan. I think they knew what to execute. Everyone knew their role, and they went in, and they just executed.
Well, then where was that during the regular season in 2024?
I'm saying if they can get it going by the time you get to the playoffs, great. You know, but I think when you look at that Eagles game then, right after that, it was like the exact opposite. Like, they came in, like, they were like, well, I hope this works. I don't know what's going to work. We better try some things, and I don't know. Whereas, like, I think with the Lions, like, they went in knowing what to do, and then they just executed that, you know?
Well, they better know what to do and execute during the regular season. I think it was some luck. Listen, the ball bounces your way sometimes, okay?
Football luck. Like,
okay,
come
that's
on.
Fair.
Like,
all right, that's fair. That was not luck. That was not luck. Luke McCaffrey returning a punt here and going nowhere. So, going to be a long drive for who are they sending out? You're ahead of me. What do you see? Is it Ethan Calick-Manis or is it
like
Sam Hartman?
It's like Hartman's warming up there.
Oh, so good. Who's ready to see some more Sam Hartman out there? Let's just keep force-feeding Sam Hartman so he can complete 50% of his passes and we can pretend he's an NFL quarterback. Again, it's just, yeah.
I mean, the Nats need relievers.
Yeah, there you go. Right, that may be what it is. He can switch sports in the middle of it, so
why not?
God, I mean, just we've actually traded Sam Hartman to the Nationals.
I had a Nolan Ryan baseball card as a kid where he was throwing a football in it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you still have that card?
It may be buried somewhere. Yeah, it
might actually be worth some money. I don't know.
I had a few of those like weird cards of like players playing the wrong sport. You know,
like, was it just
a Michael
like
Jordan baseball card and a John Elway baseball card?
Where did the Nolan Ryan throwing a football like photo even come from?
He was in a Ranger. He was on the Rangers at the time. He was in a Rangers like long sleeve, so it wasn't like in a game clearly. But I think it was probably some sort of like warm up drill they were doing or something. I figure where it's like it has more weight. I figured is probably what they were doing. I don't know. You'd have to ask Nolan Ryan, I guess. But yeah, it's like 40-year-old Nolan Ryan throwing a football like in a Texas Rangers shirt.
That's funny. I mean,
it was an Upper Deck card too. It wasn't just like some weird, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't like something that was in like a cereal box or an old magazine.
Yeah.
An old Sports Illustrated for kids. I used to love SI for kids when I was a little kid. They had the cheap cards you could get.
Oh yeah.
I remember I used to go to the library as a kid and they'd have it there and I would take the cards.
Now I was big into baseball cards, but then I got really into the hockey cards when I got into hockey as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, and I followed a lot more of that. And I got really into that about when the wall fell. So we started getting all the Russian players coming in. So you get all these rookie cards of like these players that people knew were good, but it'd be like their rookie card, you know, because they're just starting to play in America.
Right,
or the NHL.
Well, it's like Japanese players coming over to the U.S. and they played in the pros for like 5 years in Japan first. You're like, you're not really a rookie, but you're a rookie. You're
Ichiro wasn't a rookie. They all came at once when the wall fell. So it was like all the Russian players like Fedorov and Bure and everybody, like they all just came at the same time.
Right.
Like, yeah.
That was more of an influx. You are right.
Yeah. I don't know. That was like around when I really got into hockey cards. Then I used to like write a bunch of my favorite players, and they'd send me signatures back and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. I got a Wayne Gretzky autograph that way, actually.
What would you say like your card collection still is at this point? Do you have stuff that's left over?
I do have most of my signed stuff. A lot of it was, I'm sure, it's picked over. You know, the keys and whatever. They're always looking for rookie cards and whatever, but. I don't like the signatures is probably the coolest stuff I had. Most of those were hockey. I did a few from other sports, but like I used to go to the Capitals practices and get stuff signed when they practice out at Mount Vernon. They would practice that, and you could just like go for free to practice and like meet all the players when they left, you know, and get them to sign your stuff. But
and have you ever like gone players. Through and seen what anything is in terms of value? You ever done that?
So I'm a big comic collector, and I'm much more into my comic collection that way. The cards are kind of like when I was in elementary school, and I wasn't buying high dollar stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like, but you can get just, you know, stuff can just, you get lucky in a pack and get something valuable.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff, though, from that era, the 90s, like pre the baseball strike, they were making so much of all that, you know?
That's true.
Like, I had a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card or the Upper Deck one at one point, and I sold it for, like, $100, and I looked, and, like, they still sell for, like, $100. Like, it holds its value, but they're not exactly going up, you know?
I went through and looked at some of mine. I've got a ton of those, like, booklets full of them. When I was a kid, I used to collect a lot of NBA cards because, again, I love the NBA.
And no, I had just, some, I too. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I've actually gone through, because now you can just get all these apps that'll do it. I used to use Beckett's when I was a kid. I'd literally I'd have friends and we
Beckett's
would trade.
Just got bought by PSA, though.
Yes, they did. But, I mean, we used to sit and look up the value and make even trades. It had to, like, the prices had to
by the
like,
cents. You're like, well, you only get another quarter on this one.
Very serious, man. It was, like, literally a salary-for-salary trade in the NBA. That's how my friends and I would make those trades back in the day. You know, I was serious about it. But I've gone through, I found some that have some serious value to them, but it's nothing, it just takes so much work to really go through it.
Yeah, and I never had, like, the McGuire rookie card or, like, some of those that were, like, ended up getting really expensive later, but...
Just also, too, like, I have one card that looks like it might be worth a lot of money. I found it, like, a year ago, and I was like, I'm just going to scan with some of these apps, and I just have to make... I'm not sure whether it's exactly the card that's high value or if it's, like, the more easy-to-find version of it. It's a Mariano Rivera card, and I got to look it up. And
it's
like,
all about grading now, too.
I know.
Like, I don't know. I just
And it's also
care.
Kind of a pain in the ass to go through the process, and then you want to sell it on eBay, and it's a thing. And
We have to do shipping insurance, too. It's a whole thing.
I know.
Thing, and...
You got to deal with a lot. Sam Hartman trying to go deep. Oh, was he going for Jaden Bradley?
Yeah, I think so.
Had that one-handed catch earlier. Listen, he's good. Like, he's somebody that should make this team. I would love to see Jaden Bradley make this team. He's, what, like 6'3"? Just made that great catch earlier. Honestly, I would much rather see him make this roster over Treylon Burks, who at this point, I mean, we're not. I just don't think he does.
I would love to go to break because we're super late.
Oh, fine. I'll do it. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team.